Turn with me to Daniel chapter 10. And I would like this morning with this sermon to draw our studies of Daniel to a close. I appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit and His deliverance of the messages to us through these words. It has been some very heavy theological discussions. And to be honest with you, I am tired. So we will go to something much lighter following this. But today we look at the concluding chapters of Daniel. And I start at chapter 10 and we'll go all the way through chapter 12 because, in fact, it is one section. And only in the early church was the numbers and verse titles and things of that sort added. So here we see a complete thought. So it's not a pressure onto the text of taking it as one thought in trying to get finished. But I do want to bring this to you in one aspect. Let me ask you a question as we begin. We see through the text many references to angels and to individuals coming and speaking to others through the text. Abraham, for one, as we were reading in the children's text, was told by one that they would in fact have a son. And through the Bible, we have this reference to angelic beings. But that is probably one of the larger debatable issues within the Holy Scriptures or within the Christian church. Exactly what role do angels play? Are there in fact such things as angels? Do they war, as cited in Scriptures, with their adversaries in the heavenly realms? And do we have what's called guardian angels? Do we believe that God has such control of matters that He sends those angels to fight on our behalf, to fight for the conduct of His will, to fight, to fulfill His decrees, His desired will? Today, in chapters 10 through 12, we see some wonderful evidence of where God's angels are fighting adversaries so that His desires, so that God's will, so that God's decrees can, in fact, come to pass. And see, and this is a wonderful thing we must understand about God. Yes, God is great and majestic and has all power. We see in Genesis where a single word spoken and creation comes to pass. And so we can very easily say that God is all powerful and He doesn't need us. He doesn't need those sorts of things to make or to have His will come to pass. And that, in fact, would be a proper statement when you use the word need. Because, in fact, God needs nothing. But God has chosen to allow and to use as instruments angels as well as you and I for the fulfillment of His decrees. Here in these chapters, we get a glimpse behind the veil, behind the visible. We get a glimpse into that spiritual world where battles are going on. We have great detail here of where battles are going on earth between nations who wish to rule. But then behind the scenes, we have evidence of those angels and warring ministers who fight for the conduct of God's will. Join me in chapter 10 in another vision Daniel has given. Chapter 10, in the third year, Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. His message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of finest gold around his waist. His body was like crystallite. His face like lightning. His eyes like flaming torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, old man highly esteemed," he said. "Peace. Be strong. Be strong now." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect them." Here in chapter 10, we are brought into a very strange world, one might say. But somewhat realistic, I do believe. If an angel appeared or the presence of the Son of Man were to appear to any of us, would we not also fall to our faces and faint, become so overwhelmed? There is debate here as to whether or not this is a direct reference to Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. Is it the incarnate God presenting himself to Daniel? The text is not overwhelmingly clear, but he does call on the angelic beings to come and give him aid, to fight along with him in his behalf. And he also shares with Daniel the vision, the story, that which is yet to come, because he also wants Daniel to be involved in the work, also wants Daniel to be involved in the outcome. Daniel is the prophet. He is the one who is the teller to the generations that will follow. Chapter 10 revealed the battles yet to come for God's people. But it also reveals God's desire to strengthen and comfort. Please hear this. There are battles ahead for the Christian. There were battles ahead for the Israelites of these days. There are battles ahead for the Christian of this day. Just as Jesus said, "I will be with you until the very end." The same theme, the same message, the same concept of teaching was given to Daniel in these words. "Do not fear. Be strengthened. Stand up, Daniel. Yes, you are weak and yes, you are afraid, but do not lie there. Stand up." This is God speaking. We who face troubles in this life must remember these sorts of words. We must be strengthened and encouraged. Is it an angel who comes and visits you? Maybe. Is it a card from a loved one that encourages you? Possibly. But is it God overall that provides for you and strengthens and comforts you through the times. Of course. This passage also reveals God's willingness to send His ministering angels. And in all of this, to reveal God's ultimate control. Thank you, Ruth, for the anthem. God is in control of all seasons, of all times. Here we see evidence of it. God's comfort and strengthening goes to Daniel. And then these angelic beings come. The angel Michael is sent to do war. We see a war going on here. And I must ask that you use your imagination just a bit here. The spiritual world is as close as the breath that leaves your mouth. But yet it extends so far and so vast that we could never grasp it entirely. But yet it is there. The angels are around us. Satan's minions are here and seek to do battle. Satan knows he has lost. He knows that he has been turned back from his ultimate objective of denying Christ. But yet he has not learned completely that he cannot have you as well. But he goes after the church. He goes after the people of the church. He goes after you and I. And so here we have just a glimpse of that battle going on back in that day between the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, and those nations that did battle over that land of Judea, those 400 years that we mentioned last week in the 62 sevens. We said last week in that middle time of 62 sevens, there's approximately 400 and some odd years for one nation after another will come and do battle, and one nation after another will be defeated. In chapter 8, we referred to them as the four beasts. The Persian king and the king of Greece, the king of Rome, and the king that would follow after that. Chapter 11, if you want detailed prophecy, read chapter 11. It goes so far as to tell us that a daughter of a king would be married off so that peace could be purchased. And so read this prophecy of chapter 11. Go to your history books and read about the Middle Eastern turmoil of the 400 years before the coming of Christ. It's a wonderful mirror of exactly what happened. I leave that for your reading. It is tremendous detail. But out of that comes a king. Out of that comes a king of one who will exalt himself. And we see this battle coming about. The angel Michael is sent to do war with the prince of Persia. Their battles involve these kings who want to overwhelm God's people. But I want to show you and speak of just a moment about other battles that take place. We must understand this concept of the spiritual realm. In Jude chapter 1, he speaks of Michael doing battle with Satan over the body of Moses. Moses. And there was a battle for his body. Hard to see, hard to comprehend, hard to understand, absolutely. Revelation chapter 12, if you would turn with me there. Revelation chapter 12 speaks of a battle. Here is where it makes reference that Satan is after the Christ child. And if you read on in chapter 12 from the point I stop, you will see where that Satan turns to the church. But let's read the first few verses. And a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in the front of the woman who was about to give birth. This is the concept of the coming of the Christ child. Satan felt like, knew, that if he could kill that child. And so here is the battle in the spiritual concept of that physical birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to His throne. The woman fled to the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. Then verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. This is the concept of Michael and the angels doing battle with Satan and his minions. Hard to understand, hard to see, absolutely. But does that mean it did not take place? No. There are battles which go on around us. We are involved with personally. But many battles are going on in the spiritual realm right now. We spoke of earlier in chapter 8 of a king who would appear and create great trials and discomforts, tribulation for the people of God. We refer to him as Antiochus Epiphanes, who desecrated the temple. In chapter 11, verse 36, we see him coming to the forefront or being spoken of once again. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place. And we see this king who comes and does great damage to the people of God. And then we move into chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Hear this messenger. This one who is speaking in the vision of Daniel says that at this time, Michael will come again. And he refers to him as the protector of the people. Guardian angel. But there's more than one. Because Michael was the leader, was the captain, if you will, the chief prince of the angels. And so he had an entourage that fought along with him. Here we see that Michael does once again come and do battle. Let me read to you chapter 12. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will come a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of your days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Now, I must be absolutely honest with you here that there is difficulty in providing a clear teaching as to the exact point in time of which this is referring. The chapter begins, "At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise." This is a transitionary statement coming from what is said previous into what is said following. Is there a transition between the first part of that verse and the second? There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. All through this book up until this point, it speaks very nicely and contained very well about those times preceding the days of the coming of Jesus Christ. But I must admit that in this chapter, chapter 12, a significant transition takes place. And that transition is found most clearly in the latter portion of verse 1. It says, "A great distress will come upon the nations, but at that time your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt." This is speaking of the resurrection. This is speaking of the judgment. This is speaking of those who are in God's book of life being found, finding themselves in heaven. And those whose names are not written in the book of life find themselves in a place of contempt. That passage does not fit previous to the coming of Jesus Christ. These words, "It will last for a time, times and half a time. It will last for 1,290 days, but those that hold out for 1,335 days." Folks, I'm sorry, but the mysteries of God here are overwhelming. And I just about have to leave the passage there. If we were concerned about time, if we were concerned about time as our only objective, but that is not our only objective. Jesus Christ said that we will not know the time, that the time will come like a thief in the night, that we should go about our work, that we should go about our lives and be prepared. So that is the message. What did the angel tell Daniel? Daniel is with us. Verse 8. "I heard this, but I don't understand." And then what was the angel's reply to Daniel? He said, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked." Verse 13, "As for you, go your way till the end." As for you, go your way till the end. So we do. Do we have all the answers concerning this passage? No. Will we have all the answers concerning this passage? No. Is the promise of God still standing? Yes. God is in control. God knows the dates and the times of the seasons. He knows the dates and the times of your births and of your passings. He knows the times and dates of the rise and the falls of the nations. He knows the times and the dates of kings such as Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus, and Darius. He knows when they will come because within His providence, within His decreed will, He has laid it all out. Does He know the point in time of when Jesus Christ will return and bring His church home? Absolutely. Will it be 1,290 days from today? I have no clue. Nor do I care. I care in this, that God has told Daniel as well as us, go your own way. Live your life. And if time does pass, you will rest. And on that day that is appointed by God, you will rise and find your reward. Again, I apologize. This passage is overwhelming. And I can understand Daniel's words clearly. I've heard this, but I don't understand it fully. But the mysteries of God we will never understand fully. But we understand His promises. And we understand that He's in control completely. And because of that control and because of who God is, He is great and mighty and worthy of worship. And so we worship Him. Not belabor the fact of unknown answers.